Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
One Texan says, my dad was looking after my two-year-old for the day, maybe 6 hours in total. What I came home to was a complete disaster. She took great delight in pointing at the overflow, this is the daughter, I assume, at the overflowing toilet when I got in the door and laughing uncontrollably when the water started inching towards the door. The eejit, this being the father, had changed her nappy a few times and disposed of the wipes down the loo. While I was gagging with my arm halfway up the U-bend, retrieving his many, many mistakes, the two-year-old peed on the floor. She'd removed her own nappy at this stage, and then the cat fell the cat fell right into all of it when he flew in the door. My dad had already absconded to the pub. By God, I cracked open the wine that night. The other text says, Fatbergs was the topic of conversation at work one day. Most of the people there said they can pour fat down the kitchen sink. One woman piped up, you can't do that. It causes serious harm to the sewer system. Well, what do? We asked her. I pour it down the drain in the back garden, she replied. It would be great to extract the Fatberg in one piece and install it in the Tate Modern, Richard the Thatcher suggested. Actually, it's a great idea. Thank you, Moncrief. My late lunch is now a lie down in a darkened room. Says Mick. That's probably better for you, Mick, anyway. My next door neighbour walks out onto the road once a week and pours his entire deep fat fryer down the drain. It feels so good to share this. I'm going to be able to tell her all about the Fatbergs the next time I see her. In the past, I was guilty of flushing absolutely anything that I could get to stay down the toilet. Don't think that one wet wipe was doing so much damage. We see, they build up. And we have grease traps in Dublin, which lower the risk of this happening. London doesn't have his, as it's mandatory for businesses, in relation to the fat. If it's got salt in it, be careful giving it to birds. And he did say that, you know, they try to get the message across that it's the three P's. And someone wants to know, can you flush puke? P is for puke. Well, I imagine that would be okay. Mairead Lavery joins us once again. And I suppose appropriately, one of the things you're going to talk about it is the worst jobs you can do on a farm.
Yeah, well, certainly that's a bad job. I actually saw that fat ball, or whatever you'd call it. I saw images of it online. Mm. Oh, it's the most, it would absolutely put you off your dinner. There's no doubt about
it. Oh, God, yeah.
But it just shows what the accumulations, small accumulations do. And you know what people throw down their sink and they think it's all going to go jammy. But by golly, it certainly, you know, it all started the back up. That was very funny, that story about the cat and the, yes, and the kid and the whole lot. I'd say he could stay at the pub now for the rest of the night.
I don't think he was welcome back.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, we're talking about the worst jobs on farms. And, yeah. You know, there's loads of lovely jobs on farms, like going down to look at a shed of, I mean, what I love doing is going down to look at a shed of sheep on nice fresh straw, tuned our cuds, sitting back, dark evening, you know, winter's evening. It's just very satisfactory. And then when the little lambs are out and they're playing king of the castle, any kind of little height in the field or a mould or mound or anything, they're there trying to stand on the very top of it and racing and chasing each other. So, I mean, they're the lovely jobs you get to do. Getting, you know, silage cut and in good weather, getting the hay made and getting that lovely soft, you know, that lovely aroma of a hay meadow is just something that's very, very special. So they're the nice things. So what are the really things that people absolutely hate doing? Well, top of our list anyway is pulling ragwort.
Yeah.
Now ragwort is, you'll see it, it's around the fields. It's often where there's, you know, there's a cut through in the road where the road has been widened or where a bend has been taken off and you've got kind of, you know, embankments on both sides or a bit of waste ground. There's loads of it there. It's a job, you could say, why don't you go out and get a shears at it or go and kind of mow it down? Well, it's a really bad idea to do that, and I'll tell you that why later. The best way of getting rid of ragwort is doing it the old hard labour way, which is pulling it up by the roots and disposing of it. And, you know, if it breaks, the stem breaks in the middle, you know, you have to go and pull it again and make sure you get it out of the ground, because cutting it back won't do you any good. It's not going to get rid of it. You have to get rid of the roots and all. So ragwort, one absolutely horrid job. Another one is dagging sheep. Now, you know, dagging sheep. Now, what the hell has that? What's that? Is that, that's a new word for the dictionary today. So dagging sheep, have a lot of sheep have tails. And some of them are inclined to, you know, maybe like if you had a couple of pints, You know, what comes out the back end is a little bit softer than it should be, and it's inclined to gather around the back, you know, the tail, and along the back flanks of the animal. Now, that's not too bad in the winter. You can deal with it. Although, if you ever tried to get two lambs to feed off of a reluctant yoe, or a, you know, a yoe that needs to kind of a bit of time to recover, and you have to get in behind all of this stuff, and so does the lamb, it's not very nice. So what you do in at that time of the year is to dag them, which is basically to clean around our backsides. Mm-hmm. You've got a sheep shear and it cuts. Yeah, now, you also, it's really important to do it as well if you haven't been dipping your sheep. And not everybody dips every year. But, you know, that's the kind of ground, the territory that the bluebottles absolutely love. They lay their eggs in. And the next thing, again, pardon now this to anybody having their supper, you've got the maggots growing. And they are absolutely, you know, that is a huge issue on farms, mm-hmm. to make sure you don't get that blowfly strike. But keeping the back ends of sheep really nice and tidy and clean, that's called dagging. And it's a job nobody likes doing, but it's a very important job and has to be done. And it also needs to be done before you're shearing, because the quality of the wool, you know, is taken into account. And you've got whole big kind of heavy loads of dung hanging off of it. That's not really, you're not going to get paid for that. So you actually have to have all that cleaned away before you put a sheep. So you're squirming there, Sean.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, anyway, dagging sheep, you now know what that's all about.
Yeah.
And so that's the second least favourite job. Another job that every teenager, particularly in the country, will absolutely yell in unison about is picking stones. Land is always being reseeded, or there's been drained, or there's something doing to it, and of course the stones come up like nobody's business. Now, they're grand and handy for filling drains, they're grand and handy for maybe, I don't know what you can use them as, you know, rubble for building, but they're endless, and they never end. And if you want you know, fresh grass to come up well, or a new crop to come up well, you've got to pick stones, because if they go into a piece of machinery in 6 months' time, because nobody bothered to go and pick them up and break up the machinery, you're going to end up being liable, and you're going to have a very coarse contractor. So there's a whole load of good reasons why picking stones is important, but it would break the heart of anybody to do it. You know, you've got a 10-acre field, and you have to go through it meticulously, and there they are sitting looking at you, and you know, you have a tractor and trailer in front of you, and you're pegging them into the trailer. So, I mean, maybe if you were trying out for some sport, you'd be useful, but but that's about all they're good for.
Isn't it amazing that there are still jobs on a farm, that there isn't a kind of, you know, a machine to do it for you, that there's still the old back-breaking jobs, the ragwort and the stones, and
the best, still the best way of doing it. So another job then is a newer job, actually. It's the sheds that you keep cattle in for the winter, or keep cows in for the winter. Now, you know, unlike, you know, humans, cows and cattle go do their business wherever they're standing. So it could be, you know, like there's cubicles where, like, there's bars, and, you know, the animals kind of have their own little spot, their own kind of special space. And then the ground and the gates and all the rest of it. So after being cows going in, or cattle going into a shed from September up until, you know, not come out maybe until March, there's a fair accumulation of this stuff. And somebody's job is to power hose it and to make it as good as new. Now, I have seen sheds that have been used for the winter by 200, 300 cattle. And you wouldn't think a mouse had ran across the place. They're so clean once the cattle go out. And somebody's job is there with the power hose. Now, it's been suggested to me that, especially on the ground floor areas, you can maybe make the nice designs as you're cleaning it. You can be a bit creative rather than starting in the corner and trying to work all the way through it. So maybe you might, you know, design all sorts of things. But one way or the other, you've got to get the job done. You're going to get drenched. It's going to be cold. You're going to have this power, you know, a power hose is a heavy piece of equipment, and this water coming at it the whole time. And it's going to be endless. It's going to take you, you know, a big shed will take maybe a week, 10 days to actually really clean to the top standards. And we have a competition now, the farmyard competition, which we'll be giving the prizes out at the ploughing next Tuesday, and sponsored by FBD Insurance. And the sheds there, they're immaculate. And I can imagine the work that's been put into doing it. The last job now, that's a really hated job on the farm.
Just before you go on to the last one, keeping those sheds immaculate.
Yeah.
That must be close to one. Like, you'd have to be cleaning them morning, noon and night to do that.
Well, what you do is there's a scraper in most of the sheds. A lot of the sheds have automatic scrapers. So the passageways are kept very clean. And then maybe the farmer will go along with a brush and clean down the cubicles. So that's like a step up. It's like one step up. And, you know, an awful lot of these cubicles now have lovely rubber matting and they have kind of like mattresses nearly where the cows can sleep on. And, you know, they're very comfortable and they go for them. I can tell you, they like those places. And so the shed is, the automatic scrapers go up and down every 10 or 15 minutes. So they keep the whole central passage clean. And that means that the livestock are not walking that stuff up into their, where they're
yes,
sleeping.
Yeah.
So, but you're still not catching all the bars and the, you know, the metalwork around the place where that has to be done with a power hose. But yeah, every day those sheds have to be cleaned out, and often 3-4 times a day. Some farmers do it.
Crikey, right. And so the final, the worst one or just?
No, well, any of them, you know, they're typical teenager jobs, you know. If there's the one thing that you can never say on a farm is I'm bored. By Janie,
looking for trouble,
you are looking for trouble if you even mention the word I'm bored or I've nothing to do. I'll tell you, there is plenty to be found to be done. But one of the big jobs, it only happens maybe once, maybe twice if you've got two pits, it's covering the pit. Now, you've got a great big pit of silage. You've worked hard to grow it, to save it, to get it into the pit, to correctly put it in place. And the big black clouds are coming over and you've got this huge, huge sheet of plastic. Now, I mean huge. And you've got to get it over the thing, over the big pit of silage. Now, you're talking about, what's the size? Like most people's front gardens multiplied by 2, 3, 4, 5. Can you imagine trying to cover all of that on a height in the wind with black plastic?
Yeah.
And you have to get this stuff on it because you've got to save it for the winter fodder. So that's a big job. It's flapping in the wind. You no sooner have one corner secured than the other one has gone to fritters. And you're trying to get the tyres up on it because the tyres hold down the plastic. And that is an all hands on deck job. I mean, that's not a one person job. You couldn't possibly do it. You need as many people as possible to get at it and get it covered and get it secured for the winter because it's your full crop. So they're the five jobs. Pulling ragwort, cleaning sheds, covering the dagging sheep and covering the pit and picking stones.
Shane says, my granddad used to call ragwort bulky shans. Did Mairead ever hear this?
Bukalons.
Bulky shans is the way he's...
Bukalons is another word for it now. Yeah. They're, the county councils can be... There's legislation going back to 1936. On this, and farmers are supposed to get a destroy notice and be double checked, and if they don't get rid of their ragwort, you know, they're fined for it. Now the trouble is there's been nobody fined for it in living memory. and the people who mostly complain about it are the neighbours who are very assiduous about getting rid of their ragwort. And the fellow over the ditch has a field of it.
Yeah.
And sure, the thing just blows across and they're left every year trying to keep it clean. But you know, you would wonder, you know, there's five sets of noxious, or there's four or five noxious weeds out there. The docks are another ones. The docks have something like 60,000 seeds. Absolutely, you know, extraordinary
Crikey.
Number.
Yeah.
And they can actually cover up grass. I mean, you know, if you know a dock, it's, you know, it's the weed now people would remember it for, it's good for a nettle sting. If you put it on nettle stings, it cools them down. That docks cover the grass and they inhibit the grass from growing up. So that's one. And then ragworts. Now, ragworts are poisonous to animals. Sheep, maybe not as bad, but certainly livestock, any cows, cattle, weanlings, young calves. And they can eat them inadvertently. If you buy in silage and somebody cut down a field and they didn't give us sugar, that there was a whole lot of ragwort in it. Well, that ragwort can actually kill animals. And new reports from the veterinary labs in Cork and Limerick, there's been five yearlings and a bullock died this summer from ragwort poisoning. And it's not a nice way to go now. So ragwort are deadly serious. And, you know, if grass runs any bit short, cattle will eat it, even though it isn't very palatable. So, you know, it's a weed that needs to be got rid of. But thistles then would be another one of the noxious weeds, along with docks and ragwort. And, you know, they really need to be seen to.
Someone says, the worst job I ever heard of, my wife's friend used to work on a stud farm and she used to have to calm down the frisky stallions, if you know what I mean. Even that's probably a wee bit too much information, really. Right, Farm Aid. Has this been going on for years, Farm Aid?
Yeah, Farm Aid came about. You know, remember Live Aid?
Yeah.
Way back, 85. Bob Dylan appeared at Live Aid, and at that time American farmers were going through pure hell. They were being their farms were being taken off them left, right and centre. The whole concept of farming, family farming, was literally going out the window. And in certain states in America, family farming is big. You know, there's huge numbers that you're talking about. I mean, as many as the farmers that live in Ireland, like big numbers. And Bob Dylan mentioned it, and because, you know, he talked about, you know, the difficulties that they were having in America. And it was taken up by Neil Young and Willie Nelson and John Mellencamp. And they ended up running a festival, a one-day concert to aid farmers. It was attended by 80,000 people. It took place in Illinois. And they raised $9 million. So they've kept doing it every year since.
I did not
and
know
it's
that.
On next Saturday, actually, if anybody is out in a place called Burgerstown in Pennsylvania. They move the site around, a bit like the ploughing. They move the site around every couple of years. So it's in Pennsylvania this year. The original lineup are still there, but all sorts of people, like, well, Neil Young is playing, Willie Nelson is playing, John Mellencamp. But in the past, you had people like, B.B. King, I think he's playing this time as well. No, but you've had Billy Joel, Elton John, the Beach Boys, all sorts of people playing at this concert. They've raised about 50 million, and a lot of it went that time when they, you know, all the farms were being foreclosed on. And it actually, what they did was those, you know, I don't know, soul country singers, they managed to bring farmers to Congress to tell their story. And in October or in 87, the Agricultural Credit Act came into place in America, which helped farmers who were being foreclosed on by their banks. So the money now, a lot of it goes into emergency funding. So, like, for instance, the hurricanes that have been happening there now.
Yeah.
That money for farmers who've lost their belongings or lost their crops, they get some money out of this fund. So it's continued operating, and it takes place next Saturday.
Right. Now, you've just mentioned the ploughing there, and this day of week we'll be down in the ploughing ourselves. And so what can we expect?
Well, look, you can expect mud.
Yeah.
Straight off the reel now.
Yeah, you did that. Yeah, because we've been very lucky the last.
We've been very lucky. Well, I don't know what, unless something happens drastically good over the next couple of days. It's been a shocking couple of weeks. I'd say ground conditions are pretty rough. I was talking to Anna Marie McHugh there last week, and she told me now that, you know, they were hoping for a good week this year, but this week to dry things out. So I don't think they've got enough of that. So I'd bring your wellies and no white runners, please, or like nice brogues or anything like that.
Okay.
And, you know, wear your most comfortable clothes and be ready to have change them if you need to. So, but one of the things that's taken place down there, and I want to mention this, there last spring, Tom Clare down from County Clare, he went out to his shed one morning. He knew his little cow, I think it's a little shorthorn cow, was going to have two. You would think that was funny now, Sean.
No, I'm just reading the text there from someone saying, Jesus, if B.B. King is playing, I'm definitely going.
Not.
He died in May of 2015.
He did play in it. But anyway, down this farmer's from the Hinch, and he went out to his shed, and there were the two little calves, and here wasn't there a third one, and holy Moses, there was a fourth one as well. So though they got thousands of phone calls in the week and messages in the weeks that followed, thousands now. So those four little heifer calves, who are, like, seemingly, to have a quad pregnancy is 1 in 700,000, to have it where they're all alive is 1 in 11 million, and to have it where they're all alive and they're all heifers is 180 million chances of it.
That's extraordinary.
So they're on the Grennan stand at the ploughing.
Right, there you go. Mairead, we'll see you down there next week. Mairead Lavery there from the farm.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Farmers Journal will be back in a couple of minutes.